What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live not a day. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. And thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It is Wednesday, September 11th, says the calendar. I got four eyes in here on the, in the studio looking at the calendar today. The other two being from my friend Giselle Granger, who's visiting from Trinidad. Thanks for coming, Giselle.
Thank you, Uzi.
I want to stick this mic right up to your face. They say eat the mic when you talk. I know you don't have any problem talking. So the intro song for my Out There promo is Rockin' Bicycle Built for Two by Fats Domino. Giselle and I have been doing some bicycle built for twoing. Using my friend Brett and Jenny's recumbent tandem. How's that for you, Giselle?
Very nice. It was very interesting.
Yeah, so Giselle's been here since Sunday night.
Yeah.
So this is our third day. We've biked around a little bit. How's the biking in Northampton compared to Moruga?
Well, I find it very interesting that so much of biking, because back home we don't have so much bikes. I don't believe many children have plenty access to many bikes like you guys have. So with me seeing so much people riding bicycles, it was very, very awesome for me. I enjoy seeing the track that the bikes go on. It was very, very nice.
Yeah, the rail trail. I live on the rail trail, so we've spent a bunch of time biking on that path. And for new listeners to out there, if you haven't listened at all this summer, then you may have missed me talking about the Trinidad Bicycle Osmosis Project. So I'll just say a thing about that. So I ended up spending a chunk of last winter in Trinidad, that's where I met Giselle at the farm, One Family Farm. I met her through the Workaway program, which we'll talk a bunch more about that today. But after my 6 weeks there and a great experience there and constantly asking, where are the bikes? Like, where are the bikes? I'm tired of walking half an hour between the Wolf House and the farm. and people were like, yeah, well, there just aren't very many and they're expensive. And I was like, okay, well, I know where there's a lot of bikes. So the Trinidad Bicycle Osmosis Project, I'm collecting bikes. There's more information on the Pedal People website under Bike Lab. You can also just do a GoFundMe search. If you look up Trinidad Bicycle Osmosis Project, GoFundMe, I'm trying to raise some money to cover shipping costs. Thanks so much to everyone who's donated money and bikes and moral support and all these things. It's really great. I'm hoping to ship the bikes in the spring with support from Bikes Not Bombs based in Boston and working with some partners in Trinidad to receive them and distribute them and stuff. And then I'm going back to Trinidad in the fall or winter. So Giselle, we met because I ended up in Trinidad when I thought I was going somewhere else. And last minute, I was like, oh, shoot, Mika's washed away at sea, blown away at sea. I better find a backup plan. Where can I stay in Trinidad? What can I do? And so I had heard about the Workaway site, which it's similar to woofing. It's like the Caribbean version of woofing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so I saw the profile for One Family Farm on the south coast of Trinidad in Moruga. And I was like, oh, I don't care about sailing with Mika. I want to go there. And so I contacted them, and they said, sure, come on.
Without hesitation.
And what?
Without hesitation.
Without hesitation. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that first conversation we had on the phone when I was staying at my couch surfing host's in Port of Spain, and we were talking on the phone. I think you were driving Glenda into the hospital or something, and I was like, what is this woman saying? I was like, the written communication was so easy to understand. Are these the same words?
Well, I'll try my best to talk very slow today so everyone can understand.
like, you know, when you're talking on the phone to Ansi or other people on the phone from Trinidad, I'm like, oh, shoot, I really don't understand any English, do I? I thought I'd learned something. Yeah, so I'll shut up here in a minute and let you do some talking.
I'm enjoying you.
So, one family farm. What is this one family farm? People ask me about it, and I try to explain it, and I'm like, well, it's not like here people think of a farm as like the certain location where there's a certain a certain group of people in this like confined place. But one family farm, I feel like the community aspect, both the land and the people, just sort of sprawls and intermingles, and who knows where it goes. So yeah, so one family farm. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about in your?
Okay, well, one family farm is basically a very big story, but I'll describe a little bit.
We have an hour. Well, no, only 53 minutes now.
Well, one family farm basically started from someone who went to school in Trinidad named Jermaine Gatewood. And she spent a lot of time on the weekends from Port of Spain, which is the city of Trinidad, by us,
weekend. She's from the United States.
Yeah, she's from the United States. So, well, Gigi left Trinidad and always promised my parents, who hustles so well, that one day she will do something for us to help us, because we do so much for people and people could come back and do the same for us. Mm-hmm. So the program basically started when she left Trinidad after 8 years, almost 10 years, went back home, and she came back to spend a week. And the house that she stayed in was just a rented empty house that we had next to our garden. But we were renting the house. So my father always never really used chemical to plant any produce. So she came up with the idea of telling us that there's organic farming all over the world where people come to work for free for food and shelter. So we didn't really take it home because we didn't really have an idea of the whole thing. So she said, if I hook it up, will you guys continue it? We said yes. So after a year or so, she called and said that she hooked up the program, and it is one family farm. And we have two volunteers, one named Kobe and one named Daniel. Kobe was from the USA and Daniel was from Germany. So they were the two first boys that started in 2014 in the program. And that's how one family farm started. Mm-hmm. So for the past years, we have over 140 people, which you included, Ruthie. And one family farm is basically supposed to be mostly about farming. But yet still, with the love of the community and with everybody else, everybody feel at home. Some of the volunteers don't want to go back home. Some of the volunteers have came 3 and 4 times already. And with the love that we share is why, because Ruthie loved Trinidad so much, you, Ruthie, that you decided that when you came and then saw no bikes on the road, that you wanted to do something for us also.
So one of the questions people always ask me when I tell them about the farm is they always want to know, what do you grow?
Well, we grew a variety of different stuff. We grew things like cassava. We don't have yam on the farm, but we go to the forest, like in the garden bushes, to get the yam and dig yam. We plant like pak choy, cabbages, cucumbers, saive, tomatoes, bhaji, a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. Plenty.
Yeah. Bhaji is the green, I think we would call it.
Spinach.
Yeah. Or pigweed amaranth or kalulu, I think.
Kalulu is something different. Oh, right. Kalulu is dashing bush.
Okay. And the wild yam, can you describe wild yam for people? Because here in the United States, when we hear yam, we think like sweet potato.
Well, yam is really a provision also, like sweet potato and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's much more big. Mm-hmm.
People go out in the bush and dig it.
Yeah.
How do you find it? What's it look like?
Well, all you will see is a vine growing from the ground, but you will know the vine. Once you know the vine, you will know that is a patch that have plenty yams in it. So when you dig the yam, you always have to cut back all the head and cover back the head to grow for the next season. If you don't plant it back, you will not get no yam.
Sustainable harvesting.
Yes.
Yeah, when we were taking that walk to the tar pit and the mud volcanoes.
Yes, and we get the yam.
Yes. You found that huge one. How big does yam get?
Yam could get up to 6 feet, depending on what kind of yam it is.
Wait, the root, the tuber itself? No.
Yes. Wait. The long one. Does it have a long one?
A 6-foot route?
Yes.
And how big diameter?
I don't know. Like, all different size.
Like 4 or 5 inches?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought the one you...
That's a snake yam.
Okay.
The one that we dig was a cutam yam.
Okay.
And it have finger yam. It have lots of different names.
The one we dug seemed like it was like 10 pounds or something.
Yes, it's very heavy. So when you go to dig yam, make sure you can't dig yam in the rain time. Because yam does scratch. So if you put the yam in the bag and you put it on your back or you put it on your head and it get wet, it will make a slime and it will scratch very bad.
All right. And then there's also the tamarind that we collect and you make the tamarind sauce with.
Yes, well, I make an awesome tamarind sauce. The same as in, you mustn't overjoy on your own product, but I believe my product is a very good hit. Okay? So tamarind is basically tambourine, as many people might know. So what I do with the tamarind, I make a sauce out of it. So I put like ancho masala, which is a little something like not spicy, salt, pepper, garlic, bandania or shadow benny, something resembling shalancho. But it's shalancho has no taste. Shadow benny has all the taste. I would always say that.
People here say, oh, that's like cilantro. And Giselle says, no, that
hell
is not
no,
like
it's
cilantro.
Two different things.
That's shadow benny.
Yeah, shadow benny is more flavor and it's more green. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think it's what people call culantro.
Okay.
There's some dispute about that too. Anyway, so, it's good. We all know it's good.
Yes. So with the tamarind sauce, you could put the tamarind sauce on anything. You could put it on your salad. You could put it in your soup. You could put it in your food. You could eat it with bread. It's good for anything. You could eat it in your hand. Mm. You could just take a spoon and drink it out if you like.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's got all those different key elements of like spice and sweet. And
yeah. Sweet and sour.
All those things. And I don't know if you saw what I had for a drink when I get back from my route today.
No.
I took a spoonful of it and put it in my big jar of water.
Ah.
Actually, like when I was coming back on the airplane from Trinidad, like, I wanted to bring tamarind sauce, but I couldn't because I didn't have any checked baggage.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay, how can I bring just a little bit? So I had like a couple of little plastic bottles with just like, looked like dregs in the bottom. I thought, oh, surely I can get away with this. And when I got to like one of the airports I was at, I was like, oh, I need something to drink. And so I just like added water to the bottle and drank it. And I was like, oh, that's good.
Nice.
It's like concentrated drink mix. Anyway, so Giselle made some here
on
Monday.
Oh, that's not. Tamarind also can make juice.
Oh, yeah, right. It's a really popular drink.
Yes, tamarind juice.
Yeah. So Giselle made some tamarind here Monday at my house.
Mm-hmm.
We had it for Monday Night Potluck, and there's more jars available at my house. So let me know. I don't know how many jars you're trying to take to Brooklyn with you when you go, but or how many jars you want to try and sell here.
Well, if the people here interested, we sell them it.
I got pint jars and cup jars. For sale at my house, 8 High Street. Let me know, Ruthie at pedalpeople.coop. So you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. And my host today is Giselle Granger from Maruga, One Family Farm in Maruga, Trinidad. Thanks again for coming in, Giselle.
No problem, Ruthie.
All right, we're going to play, this is Buju Banton.
Yeah.
This is Buju Banton, and I've got something special to say with my dear friend, who is my pen. Ooh, Lord, all right, yeah. I'm at the crossroads. Hear that? Here I go again, just me and my pen. Always
hindrance. Sky has no limit. Be the best in life. Put everything in it. Let no one stand in your way. There's just one law to obey. That's morality. And protect your sanity.
Listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm here with Giselle Granger from One Family Farm in La Lune, Moruga, Trinidad. And Giselle and I met last winter when I found that One Family Farm on Workaway. And now she's visiting the United States. How many times? Yeah. How many times have you been here before, Giselle?
This is my third time.
I want to say here, I mean the United States. In Northampton?
First time.
Yeah. I feel very lucky.
Of course you are.
So can you talk a little bit more about One Family Farm? So when I saw it on the Workaway site, it was described as a cooperative family farm. Like, what does that mean, cooperative family farm?
Well, we don't have everything planted in our garden. So we have family members, everybody have their own garden on the side. So we come together. So sometimes we might come together and plant one crop. We also go to the market and sell with Francis, mm-hmm. which is like my uncle. My uncle, cousin, anything you want to say. I have my son. We buy figs from the owner, from the neighbor across the road. So even the neighbor come around to help us. Because One Family Farm, main members is myself, my father, my two sons, and my brother, who is cerebral palsy. No matter, he can't walk, but mm-hmm. he's always there.
Yeah.
Okay? He is 34 years of age. Mm-hmm. Hooray, he reached 34 years in August 11th. So we go to the market on a Sunday. So when we go to the market, like Francis have a van, so everybody will put everything together and we'll go and we'll sell together. We'll cooperate together in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. And when you say figs, that's what in the United States we would call bananas, just to clarify.
Oh, yes, yes. Sorry. I forgot in a different place. yes, well, we have almost 10 different bananas. Well, we have one fig that we call banana, which we call it a lakatang fig.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is the only fig we call banana, but all the rest we call figs.
Uh-huh.
So we have moko, we have plantain, we have St. Vincent plantain, we have chiquito. Oh my gosh, it's so much.
Silk fig. I remember the silk fig.
Yes, it has so much of figs to remember. Uh-huh. It have buru. Well, buru is a fig you mustn't eat. Anytime anybody hear about buru fig, don't eat buru fig when you drink alcohol. Because it can make you end up in the hospital. It can kill you, for real. So like birds and things eat buru fig. You can eat buru fig, but you can't eat too much. But what people just do with the fig is a purple fig. It has turned from green to purple. You could roast it and eat it. Tastes very sweet and nice. But remember I said, don't consume too much when you eat. Don't eat it when you consume alcohol.
So it's not a party fig.
No. Selfig is a nice yellow. It have green skin selfig and it have ripe selfig, yellow selfig. Selfig is a nice short fig. Sweet. Chiquito is a little smaller fig. Yeah.
There's just something I was going to ask. Oh, yeah. So where do you sell the produce? You mentioned Francis takes stuff to the market. That's the market in Princestown. So where else? So you can talk about like the farm stand or on the road.
Okay,
or?
Well, we have a little stand in front of our house. So we put produce there and we sell. People come and buy. We also have a car. We put produce in the car and open up the trunk in the car and drive around blowing horn, peep, 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 peep all over the place. Mm-hmm. And people come out on the road and buy. We also go to Princestown Market. It have a lot of different markets, but our main market is Princestown. Uh-huh. So we go to Princestown and we retail on the side of the road on a Sunday morning. On a Sunday morning is the time when most Trinidadians come out to buy a lot of market for the week. Uh-huh. So on a Sunday is the time when everybody will bring out everything what they have. So on a Sunday, you're sure it will be a good sale because it's the time when parents will come out to buy things for the kids for school, like the bananas, they'll come out to buy things to cook for the week. Mm-hmm. And we also, like, friends and families will call if they don't have something and they'll just sell them whatever you have. Yeah, that's how we sell our produce.
Yeah. And then you also sell some to other people, like the woman in Grand Chemin who sells her little stand too, right?
Oh, yeah, we also do wholesale. Mm-hmm. So if somebody else have a market stall another place, they will order what they want and we'll sell them at a cheaper price and they will sell it over. Mm. Yeah, so we also wholesale and retail.
Are there many other organic farms there or is it common for people to use chemicals?
I will say no. From like a 5-mile range, no. To me, I really don't know. No, only people who are no plant organic really is people who plant their own kitchen garden.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, a lot of people not into, I wouldn't say people not into organic, but some people just only studying the money and not studying to a healthy lifestyle. Uh-huh. So doing organic is very, I wouldn't say it hard, but it does have a lot of lostage. Uh-huh. You could lose plenty sometimes.
Yeah.
Because remember, using no chemical. So if the sun is too hot, certain things won't grow properly. If it have too much rain, certain things will die. So doing organic is something you have to put your best foot forward into it. Mm-hmm. And keep on practicing. Yes, there are times you get good produce. We always have pak choy green. We always have saif green. We always have fig. That is main things we always have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our dirt is like clay dirt. Some parts of the dirt is clay. So in clay dirt, you will only plant things like ground provision, like cassava and sweet potato and all these things.
Uh-huh.
But all around, I wouldn't say a lot of people into organic much because people just studying the fast the money.
So when I was there, it was dry season. That was like end of February, all of March, beginning of April. And so most of the farming, like the planting, the cultivation, all that was just done with a machete. And actually, there wasn't even a machete at the Wolf House my first week there. And I was kind of like, well, how am I supposed to? Like, my fingernails, they're just not hard enough to dig into clay.
Well, oh my gosh, it's so shameful to say that when the volunteers sometimes leave the tools outside, somebody pierce and pick it up.
Yeah.
Wait, always misplaced.
Yeah, I was like, how can there not be any tools? Like, this, there have been volunteers coming for 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like the WOLF program is also like a tool distribution program for
the It have a lot of tools, but it's just some people just not putting the tools in place.
Uh-huh.
So it's always go missing.
All the tools got legs on them.
Oh, my Lord. It's so sad.
Anyway, so like when I was there, I was trying to learn how to get comfortable with a machete. And the first thing I had to get over was my inhibition about plunging my blade into the dirt, because here I'm always taught, you know, don't let your blade touch the ground, whether it's a chisel or a knife, or, you know, you want to guard that tip. But there, it's like, no, that's what it's for. That's why we have these tools, to use them and sharpen them every day. Anyway, so I had to get over my inhibition to plunge the blade in the ground. And then I was trying to like cultivate or plant or dig a hole in the dry clay or something. And Monty, one of the neighbors who's part of the extended family farm, he was watching me, and he was like, have you ever worked on a farm before? And I was like, well, yeah, all my life, but we always had like dirt and not just like clay. I didn't say it like that, but I never worked in dry season in the clay with a machete. No, I had not. But I got a lot better with a machete by the time I left. I felt pretty comfortable with it.
Very well. You did a very good job.
But not quite comfortable to hold a coconut in my hand and crack it. No, I'm not going down that path.
I don't even do it. I see my kids do it, but I don't. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you just lose your hand.
Yeah. So did you grow up farming? What was it like when you were little?
Yeah, I believe in our village, everybody grew up into the fields.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up getting up every morning before we go to school, full in water before we go to school, toting like water like a mile.
Uh-huh.
And after school on evening times, we have to go to the garden and tote back produce.
Uh-huh.
So in the daytime, the parents will prepare the goods for you, and in the evening, you have to take it up and carry it. Mm-hmm. In vacation time, it's the gardening, which was very interesting for us when we was younger, because it was that's something we grew up doing, so it was never a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And is the whole village used to come out. So everybody, if one house have one child and one house have three children, the three children will come to help the one child. So always was a cooperation. So if the neighbor have plenty fig to tote, he will tell the next neighbor, just lend me your children and they will go and help tote all the produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like fun toting figs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having a race coming out the garden. Yeah. Sometimes you shoot down the fig and you break it, so you're expecting to get a little spanking because you damage the fig, because when the fig brews up, it will get black and it won't ripe properly. And it's like, we grew up into doing everything like from ever since I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
It never had a day I can't tell nobody, I can't plant nothing, or I don't know how to dig a hole. We just naturally grew up doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You went to school, like what? How many years did you go to school, and what did you study? And well, how did that like balance out with the farming or the farm life? Or
it never hampered us because it was a part of the daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
Because we go to school like 8 o'clock in the morning, we come mm-hmm. back home by 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
so we have 4 to 6 to do what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we always had things to do. We always was busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It never hampered anything for us.
Uh-huh.
It had the bigger kids who used to stay home to do certain housework,
uh-huh.
and everybody had their share.
Yeah. I'm sort of curious about generational differences. Like when I was there, something that I overheard people saying, when I say people, I mean mostly men over 60, they would say how the younger generation just wants to grow cash crops, whereas the older generation, you know, we need to grow food because we can eat food, but if your cash crop fails, you're not going to have any food if you're not growing food. Do you see generational differences?
Well, What I should say? The younger children, honestly, really like fast money, right? Because like my father, Noriga, he will think about planting long-term crop that mm-hmm. could always have. Mm-hmm. But kids now, or I should say people, just want to plant something just to get the money fast, as you see. Mm-hmm. So things that just grow fast is like pak choy and all these 6 weeks crop. So yes and no.
Mm-hmm. So how about water? There's like rainy season, dry season. What's the water situation there?
Well, in Trinidad, well, I'm talking about my village. We grew up by the river, so we never grew up in running water. Up to this day, we don't have constant running water. So we grew up toting water by the river. And if when we parents had our garden, we had to be toting water as children. They will give us small bottles and they'll have big bottles. And we had something called a box cat where you put two wheels on it. Mm-hmm. And you put in a rope and you're just pulling it, which was fun. Mm-hmm. And we will make about 4 or 5 trips in that. And we'll fill up a barrel. So in the dry season, it is very hard to grow certain produce. Because without no water, everything will go on a standstill. Nothing won't grow. So for right now, we get water in the pipe on a Thursday. And it leaves on a Saturday morning. So when water come on a Thursday, you have to fill up all your containers, all your barrels, enough to last for the week. That if it's a garden, I need to plant, have water to wet the plants always, because we don't always have constant water. Mm-hmm. When the rain comes, it's a very plus, because a good plus, because the plants will get wet from the rain, so you don't have to use the waters in your barrel. If the rain fall for a period of time, for days, because we have constant rain sometimes. Sometimes we have rain like every morning. It will fall for hours, and when it will fall heavy. So the ground will stay wet and moist for days. And when the ground drought, we just use the waters in the barrels to wet produce. So in our garden, we only plant on a weekend, like from Thursday to Friday, because that is the only time we could plant and wet the plants for like 2-3 days mm-hmm. until water go. So water sometimes does be a problem, mm-hmm. but we're still grateful because it have people who don't have no water at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we still don't have to go miles, and if we have problem with water, everybody have vans and thing and containers and barrels. So we'll just put everything on a van and we'll search for water wherever it is.
Mm-hmm. How much rainwater collection is there? Is that common for people to do?
Well,
that?
People catch rainwater. Rainwater common, eh? But like some people have tanks. So they have their natural, they just put aside certain tanks for this rainwater alone just to drink. Uh-huh. And they have other tanks that they put pipe water in. Uh-huh. Yeah, but not everybody's storing water. Because sometimes, yeah, don't the pipe water might come and finish and you end up taking the rainwater, what you save to drink, and end up drinking it. Uh-huh. So, but when rain falling, everybody full rainwater. Until uh-huh. the rain stop and the water use out, we have to put pipe water into the mm-hmm. tank.
So there was a desalination plant in Laloon. So Laloon's right on the ocean, and there was a desalination plant.
Well,
what's the story with that?
That is a story that is very tricky. Because honestly, I can't even remember how much years, over 10 years. My son had about 2 years, so it's more than 10 years, more than 12 years we had a desalination plant. When we had a desalination plant, we had no problem with water. Mm-hmm. Water was like every day, because the water was coming from the sea, because it was right next to the sea. And all I heard about it after is that we just stopped get water, and they said that the desalination plant was missing a part, that they need to get the part from China, and I don't know if China moved, because we never get back any water. So after this day, the desalination plant is rotting down, which was very good for the village. We had no problem with water for like 5 years, we had running water every day, plants, everybody. So now we have no desalination plant and the plant is rotting down. It just have two life security guards that garden I don't know what.
I heard they like just garden rusty scrap metal or something.
Just every that's rusty thing. They just garden iron, that's all. So these workers just enjoy their work because they don't really have nothing to do. So they just sit all day. So I don't know what is the problem, why the salvation chamber never fixed back. Hmm. As far as I say, they say the part was from China and China moved, so we need to be looking, still looking for China.
China's coming closer and closer every day, I hear. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie Woodring, and my guest today is Giselle Granger from One Family Farm in La Lune, Moruga, Trinidad. Giselle's here for the week visiting me and visiting some other workaway friends in the United States.
And woof.
And woof friends, workaway friends. I'm gonna play, this is Riverside by Culture.
Feeling sticky and dirty after work. Took a walk down a riverside. I roll a little split. Sat down on a stone and start to cool off. With my burden down a riverside. Where I check around the youths. And I try to teach them the truth. But lay the burden down a riverside. I walk to every corner, try to find someone to talk to, but I have to lay the burden down on Riverside. For I walk and I talk and I linger and I search. Lay the burden down on Riverside right away. And I walk, I knock the youth man pocket and I try to search around them. Hey. Lay the burden on a Riverside. And I sat down quietly, watched the fishes circle around the little stones. Lay the burden on a Riverside. Give me the man. I cocked my ears and I heard the little birds whistling in the tree like so. Lay the burden on a Riverside. Live good among your neighbor, like sister and brother, and come with me a Riverside. All you need is pray to Jah quietly. Use it in secret, he shall reveal. Lay the burden down a Riverside. Jah provide for the birds in the air and the fishes of the sea, so what about me? Lay the burden down on Riverside. Look at the crow, they tire not, neither do they spin. Yet Father provide for them. Lay the burden down on Riverside. Come with me, let us walk and talk and pray quietly in search. Lay the burden down on Riverside. Even count the sun. Look at the color of the stones. Oh, Jah make each and every one individually. Lay the burden down on Riverside. I'm asking, where is the love? Where is the togetherness to? Lay the burden down on Riverside. I trod round a rima. Even in a jungle, to find a quiet place. Round here in a Nannyville, where I'd come to a trip. Lay the burden down on Riverside. Oh, yeah. Where is the quietness and the love to be found in some corner? Lay the burden down on Riverside. Walk, let us search, let us examine, let us see. Lay the burden down on Riverside.
Thanks for tuning in to Out There today. My host today is Giselle Granger, who's visiting from Trinidad. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5, followed by Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. I want to make an announcement before Giselle and I talk some more, which is that coming up tomorrow, well, tonight too, actually, there are Northampton City Council candidate forums on climate and the environment. The one tonight is from 6:30 to 8:30. It's a Ward 1 candidate and Ward 2 candidate forum at the Northampton Senior Center, 67 Cons Street. Yeah, so you want to know the positions of the candidates running for Northampton City Council or what they think the city's role should be in addressing these issues, come to those forums. Figure out who you're going to vote for. Elections coming up in November. So anyway, it's Ward 1 and Ward 2 tonight at the Northampton Senior Center, tonight at 6:30. Tomorrow, September 12th, is the Ward 5 and the Ward 7 candidates forum. And running for election in Ward 5 is Alex Jarrett and David Murphy. And running in Ward 7 are Hahnemann Goldman, Penny Geis, and Rachel Mowry. The event's sponsored by Climate Action Now. Many other sponsors. So tomorrow's event, that's tomorrow, Thursday, September 12th, at the Lathrop Community Room off of Bridge Road. Tomorrow at 6:30 again. And what else? Oh, guarding the community.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Giselle and I and Paige, so we went to Gardening the Community in Springfield yesterday. Gardening the Community is a youth garden program in Springfield. They deliver produce with bikes and bike trailers. They also have a farm store on Walnut Street in Springfield. Some of their bikes got stolen recently that they used to deliver produce with, so they had sent out a call for some replacement hauling bikes. And seeing as I have many bicycle donations right now, we took a couple down to Gardening the Community. And also, I thought it would be a great opportunity for me and Paige and Giselle to see what they've got going on down there. We got this really awesome tour from one of the local youth named Sage. Giselle, yeah, what was your experience like at Gardening the Community? How was that?
Well, to me, Sage was, he wasn't interested much at the beginning to give us a tour because he told himself that he wasn't ready, but he was well ready.
He was so excited.
Yes. I would like Sage to visit my farm one day because I need to get information about him because he's a young fella, could come and learn a lot from us. Because I have young kids like him and around the same age group, and he will learn a lot by us because he into learning. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's very interested in learning. He could explain things very well. He's just super excited. Like, by just seeing him yesterday and listening to him, it was really interesting for me.
Yeah, it was so cool to see a 16-year-old just like amazed and wowed about by the plants and the vegetables and wanting to share that with other people. Yeah. So that reminds me, I wanted to ask you about some of the woofers or the worker weighers that come to One Family Farm. Is there a typical like profile of people that normally come, or like a demographic, like who ends up coming? You said you've had like over 100 people who've come to One Family Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Who comes?
Well, we have people from all different races.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we accept anybody. We accept old, we accept young.
There was a 4 and a 5 year old there the day I got there.
4 and 6.
4 and 6, okay. Yes. With their parents.
Hank and Jed, which was so sweet. Yes, Hank and Jed was very nice. We had a 12 year old and we had a 15 year old. Well, the younger kids that come, they come with a parent. They don't come on their own, of course.
Mm.
And the other people is like youths who come from school and their parents give them opportunity to buy a ticket for them. And they choose One Family Farm. A lot of people who come, yes, everybody say that they experience, but our work is a little different. Because as Ruchi say, we have more clay land.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that come is very interested to me because it's like you're dealing around the whole world together at your house. And everybody has different ways of doing different stuff. But overall, really never had no major problem with the volunteers because everybody come to learn. And everybody does a good job. Because if they didn't do a good job and if everybody wasn't interested in what they was doing, Ruti would not have been here today with me sitting down here talking. Mm-hmm. So overall, the volunteers is like white, black. Well, we have no Chinese yet. Mm-hmm. Hoping soon. Mm-hmm. Yes, and mostly young and old people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this question I wanted to ask, but it slipped my mind again. I should have written it down, but then I feel rude for writing when you're talking to me.
Glendon?
Yes, Glendon. So have you ever done workaway at another farm? Or do you have any workaway connections with other workaway places?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Only by Ruti's place. I did some work today and yesterday. But
Giselle's a great worker. She helped me with downtown trash yesterday.
Yes. Which was very nice. I enjoy doing it very much. I enjoy helping you because you came and helped me the same way. Mm-hmm. So even if I was tired after yesterday and the day before riding the bike and mm-hmm. everything, I still enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I enjoy it very much.
And then you're so amazing to have in the kitchen, just like taking initiative, making yourself at home, cooking amazing food, cleaning up, seeing what needs to be done and doing it. It's really awesome. I love that. I so appreciate having you around. So your brother, Glendon, so he was born with cerebral palsy, right? Yeah. So when I met him, he was hanging out in the patio of Noriega's in his bed, or he gets moved out every morning and moved back in the evening. He's super friendly, can't wait to meet people, is always looking for a new girlfriend.
Always.
So he had a 34th birthday party back in August?
Yeah.
And you have annually, you have like a big event for him for his birthday. What was that like?
Well, the doctors told my mom that my brother wouldn't have last more than 15 years. Uh-huh. He used to take a tablet called Epilim mm-hmm. because he used to get seizure. So one day my mother decided that she's not giving him any tablet because she can't afford it. And at that time it was $1.50 so on. Because now it is very, very expensive because I know a lot of parents who have cerebral palsy kids and they can't even afford to get it. And it became too expensive. So anyway, my mom decided that she will not be giving my brother no tablet again. And ever since he stopped taking that tablet, he stopped got seizure. Huh. Well, we don't ever isolate my brother. Mm-hmm. From ever since he's small to now, 34 years, he's always in front of the door. Seeing he knows every car that pass. He can't talk, but he can make noise. I understand him very well. Mm-hmm. He's my number one person in the world, honestly. He is my number one, more than my father, more than my husband. He is my number one. My brother is my number one because he has all the senses. He is very interested in women, most of all. So, like, he have all the ladies in the village always like, Glendon, Glendon. And he is so interested when he see everybody. He have all his sense. So even if he sit by the bed and I tell him, let me know if someone pass, he will just sit there and wait until he see that person pass and just make a certain noise. Uh-huh. And I will know that the person there. Uh-huh. Or if he's hungry, he'll open his mouth. He eats anything uh-huh. and everything. Mm-hmm. He could eat more food than me. He eats like every hour. He never gets sick in his life. The only thing he might get, since I know him, twice he get the cold, which then lasts no time. Uh-huh. So I believe for cerebral palsy children, the best method for them is love and care. Do not isolate them. Anytime they are isolated, their life will be shortened. Because as I say, my brother has never visited the hospital. Well, I am lying, but because he did visit the hospital.
Yeah.
The only problem he have basically is his teeth. Uh-huh. Because he can't, his mouth just stays open. His mouth don't ever close. So with his mouth being open, to brush his teeth is very difficult. So his front teeth, tooth got infected and started to get rotten. Uh-huh. So that is the only case to the hospital at the moment. Uh-huh. So we still haven't got a date yet to go and take out the teeth on them. Hopefully, by the time I reach back, hoping that they will call and see to take it out, because that is only his health problem at the moment. But other than that, never visit a doctor, never take much medication, always sprightly, always happy, always interested. He can't talk, but he knows about video chat. He knows about every song. He knows everything. Mm-hmm. He's just so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
When he had his birthday and you sent pictures and happy birthday, a video out on WhatsApp. And all these women, these woofers from all over the world, I could tell he had a lot of girlfriends out there.
Yes, and everybody was like, happy birthday, Glendon, happy birthday. So his girlfriends, three of his girlfriend and his cousin came and hang out with him for the day. Mm-hmm. And yes, we give him, some people might say no, but we give him a little beer to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't, we never say that he can't get anything that we don't have. Mm-hmm. Anything that we eat, he eat. Mm-hmm. Anything that we drink, he drink. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't give him a whole beer, we'll give him half a beer. Mm-hmm. So that day was like fun for him. We made bacon in the oven. We have a homemade oven out in the yard. And he was out in the yard with all his friends coming and saying hi. Everybody come and had lunch with him. For Glendon, everybody comes out. For my birthday, they mightn't come out as much as my brother. Because my brother, he's just so awesome. He's just like cerebral palsy, but with a difference.
Uh-huh.
Cerebral palsy with a difference. Because I have friends who have kids like him and they have to sit and feed their kids for like 2 hours.
Hmm.
And we are privileged enough to know that my brother can eat. We have to feed him, but yet still he eats solid food. Some of the other kids, they could only eat soft food. And it does be so hard to see how these mothers have to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
But yet still, as I say, don't isolate cerebral palsy kids. Keep them in the open and they will live long, very long. And you will get to understand them more by having them in the showcase.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Caribbean climate makes it a little easier to have him like outside all the time in that social environment. I'm trying to imagine how it might be for people in a more northern climate to have, that was one of the special things about La Lune, how people were just like out and social and not like in their homes isolated and not just going from home to car to work or store or whatever. Anyway, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I've been talking with Giselle Granger from One Family Farm in Moruga, Trinidad. I'm Ruthie Woodring, and Giselle and I met on Workaway. So if people are interested in checking out the One Family Farm profile, they can go to the Workaway website. Is there a woofing profile for One Family Farm? I think I tried to look and couldn't find one.
No.
So it's just on Workaway. Yeah, workaway.info.
And woof.
And woof.
Mm.
Okay. Well, I guess it's getting close to the end of the show, so I'll play another song to go out with. I think Jacure. Should I go out with Jacure? Actually, I got to mention the bike lab this Saturday and every Saturday.
You want to learn to fix your bike? Mm-hmm. How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Vengan al Bike Lab de Northampton, el taller de bicicleta. Aprende a arreglar tu bicicleta y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
So I just want to say, Giselle, thanks again for coming to Western Mass. Thanks for spending some of your precious limited traveling time with me here in Florence and Northampton. I hope you've had a good time, and I hope I don't work you too hard.
That's okay.
Payback will come when I go back to One Family Farm. I also want to mention the Florence Farmers Market going on today until 6 o'clock and every Wednesday from 2 until 6. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! And thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.
begging for no gold, just somebody to love, unconditional love. Whoa. First of January, said you're starting over. Your heart's been in remission, making a new someone so honest.